Hi, y'all. Carrie D here. Welcome to the Coffee with Carrie Homeschool Podcast. Join me every Thursday for some much-needed encouragement, coffee, and conversation. It's my prayer that this podcast will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. If you're blessed each week by my podcast, make sure you check out my book, Just Breathe and Take a Sip of Coffee, Homeschool and Step with God. And check out my new book, Homeschool High School, A Handbook for Christian Education. Then share a podcast with some of your homeschooling friends who might need a little encouragement this week. You can also find me at my website, coffeewithcarrie.org, or on Instagram at coffeewithcarrieconsultant. You can also join The Coffee House, our premium membership, where you can find even more encouragement, community, and homeschool help. So stick around, pour yourself a cup of coffee, put your feet up, and take a little coffee break with me. Let's get started. Hi, y'all, and welcome back to the Coffee with Carrie Homeschool Podcast. It's Holy Week, so let's take a little coffee break together and dig into God's Word this week. Get your Bible, your favorite pen and highlighter, and your journaling notebook, and let's dig deep into the book of Exodus together. There are so many lessons we can learn from Moses. I so identify with this guy. The book of Exodus is full of promises and principles that we can apply to our parenting and to our homeschooling. You know, as mothers and home educators, we are standing on holy ground. Moses, through his example, can show us how to walk by faith, not by fear. In this episode, I want to talk about the lessons we can learn from Moses, specifically from chapter 1, while also sharing with you how simple it is to study God's Word with just your Bible and using three questions. You know, home education is a gift from the Lord, but it does come with its unique challenges too. As homeschooling moms, we often let our fears take hold of our hearts. Now in Exodus chapter 1, I want to apply the theme of walking by faith and not by fear, and seeing our call to home educate our children as standing on holy ground. Moses often felt inadequate for the task God set before him. Yet the Lord promised Moses he would be with him every step of the way. We can stand on these promises too. The book of Exodus is often referred to as the sequel to Genesis, opening with the words, "And now." It was written by Moses, which we find out in Mark 12 and John 5, and it's the account of the mass exodus of the Hebrew people from their bondage in Egypt. But Exodus also reveals God's majesty and sovereignty to the Israelites, explains his instruction and theocracy to the Israelites, and describes the Israelites' 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And y'all, sometimes my homeschooling felt like we were just wandering in the wilderness. Exodus brings the reader up to the threshold of Joshua entering the promised land.
So what is the three question method? Well, it's simply reading a passage and asking three simple questions. What is this passage about? What do I learn from this passage? And how can I apply it? That's basically all you're doing. So what I wanted to do was give you an example of how you can read a passage from God's Word. We're going to focus on Exodus 1 today, and then how to ask these three questions and how answering them can help you study God's Word, find God's will for your life this particular day or this year, and then more importantly, how to actually apply what you're learning in God's Word on a daily basis, okay? All right, so the reason I'm focusing on Exodus 1 is because in the Coffee House this year, we will be launching a Bible study that we're going to be doing with the moms who are members of the Coffee House, and we're going to be starting in the book of Exodus. It's one of my favorites, and so that's what we're going to be doing. So I just thought before we launch that Bible study of Exodus, of the book of Exodus, that I would show you how to use the three question method by studying the very first chapter in Exodus. All right. So first of all, I'm going to go ahead and read Exodus 1 to you. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open it up and follow along. This is the New Living Translation, I believe. Okay. All right. So let me read it to you first. This is Exodus 1. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all, including Joseph, who was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all of his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and increased rapidly. They multiplied and became exceedingly numerous so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king who didn't know Joseph came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become too numerous and too powerful for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase even more. And if a war breaks out, they may join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So the Egyptians appointed taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor. As a result, they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for the Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and flourished. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. They worked the Israelites ruthlessly and made their lives bitter with hard work and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. Every service they imposed was harsh. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew wives, whose names were Sephara and Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women give birth, observe them on the birth stools. If the child is a son, kill him, but if it's a daughter, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had instructed. They let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife arrives." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh commanded to all of his people, "Every son born to the Hebrews you must throw into the Nile, but every daughter you may allow to live." All right. So the three question method. So the first question, if you're a Charlotte Mason kind of a homeschooler, you know this as narration. Okay. So you're basically going to ask yourself, what is this passage about? So you want to answer the five W's, the who's in the passage, when is it taking place, where is it taking place, what's happening in it, and why is it happening if that's kind of revealed in it. Okay, so what is this passage about? So first of all, let's look at the who. Who's in this passage? Well, first of all, it's the Israelites, right? But they tell us that Joseph and his brothers had come to Egypt, and that generation had died. So it lets us know a little bit also the when of this is happening. So it's the Israelites who were descendants of Joseph and his brothers, but they were a former generation, a generation that has come after them, where they have all died. And so they're not of Joseph and his brothers. So they are their kids, their grandkids, and so forth. Okay. It also tells us that there's a new king in town. So it's not the king that Joseph was secondhand to. This is a new king. And it tells us that he didn't know Joseph. Okay. We also know that this is full of Egyptians. So obviously this is happening in Egypt, but also not only Egyptians, but taskmasters who were given power over the Israelites. All right. So we have the Pharaoh, we have Egyptians, we have taskmasters, and we also have midwives, but two in particular. Okay. And I know I murder how to pronounce their names, but Sephara and Puah, I do believe is how you pronounce that. Okay. So those are the who. So we've got this new generation of Israelites who are now living in the land of Egypt. Okay. When is this taking place? Well, it told us in, let's see, it was verse number 6, when that generation had died. So it's a new generation. And it also tells us when a new king was in town who did not know of Joseph. So this is quite a few years later. Okay. So let's think about that. I know we can have history amnesia and we kind of forget what may have happened a couple of years ago, but it really does take several generations for a generation to completely forget a country's history or a nation's history. All right. Just as an example, everyone of this generation that we're teaching right now, and some of the younger moms who are out there right now, were not born during 9/11. So they don't they don't remember that. They're only going to remember how devastating that day was if their parents and grandparents who watched that unfold on TV talked about it and told them about it, right? So we can kind of see how within a generation, a whole generation can kind of forget important events and important people and what those people did for a particular nation, like Joseph did. I mean, he saved them from 7 years of famine. And so it tells us that this new king did not know Joseph and didn't know of what he did. And neither did the Israelites, I mean, the Egyptians that were living during that time. Okay, so we have a really good idea of when this is taking place. Of course, we know where it's taking place. It's taking place in Egypt. Why is this happening? Okay, well, first of all, let's talk about what's happening. So first of all, we see that the Israelites are fruitful and increasing rapidly. Okay, so their numbers were exceedingly big. All right, but we also see that they were being dealt very shrewdly and being oppressed by the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And we also see that their lives were very bitter. So a lot of this was happening. This is what was happening. They were being turned into slaves instead of just people who are now guests living in their land. So they're slaves. Their life is bitter and hard, but we see that they're increasing exceedingly quickly. All right. And we see that why this is happening is because the Pharaoh says they will increase. And if they keep increasing at this rate, then if enemies come to our borders, they might join the enemy and they might fight against us, or even worse, they might leave our land. And then there goes our labor. Okay. And they also, it tells us in verse 12 that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. And so they were not looking at them as guests in their land or as helpful neighbors in their land. They feared them and they dreaded them. And so they didn't want to kick them out, but they wanted to use them and oppress them to the point where they wouldn't cause any kind of rebellion. Okay. So that's what's happening here. And then because of the fear, the Pharaoh had decided that, you know what, we need to make sure that little Hebrew boys don't grow up and become soldiers and fight against us. And so he puts out this decree to the midwives to go ahead and kill all the baby boys. You can save the girls because they're not going to be much of a threat to us, but kill those baby boys. And we see that two midwives in particular don't obey. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But because of that, he doubles down. And now he tells the entire country, he tells all the Egyptians that every son that you see born of a Hebrew, you throw him into the Nile. Okay, because the midwives, they're not doing their job. So I need you guys to help me out. You can save the little girls, but throw those boys in the Nile. So that's what's happening. And that's why it's happening. Okay, that was quite long for a narration if you are a Charlotte Mason kind of a homeschooler, but that's basically what you're doing. If you were to ask your kid to narrate back what the passage was about, you would want to talk about the who, the what, where, why, and when is it happening. Okay, all right, so let's go to the second question. The second question that you want to ask yourself is, what do we learn in this passage? Okay, so the first thing to take a look at is, are there any commands, any warnings, or any promises in this passage? Okay. So in this particular passage, we don't really find any commands from the Lord. There really aren't too many promises where the Lord says, if you do this, this will happen. Okay. However, we do see in verse 20, it says, so God was good to the midwives and the people multiplied and became even numerous. And so this does remind us that in Genesis 12:3, that the Lord said that they would multiply, that he promised Abraham that his people, his descendants would multiply and be as numerous as the stars and the sand. But in particularly in Genesis 12:3, that verse promises us and everyone out there that if you bless my people, I will bless you. And if you curse my people, I will curse you. And so here we see that the midwives were blessing the Hebrews. And so in verse 12:3 in Genesis, we see here that the Lord blesses the midwives for their obedience or for blessing the Hebrews. Okay. So there's no like particular promise that the Lord is saying, if you do this, this will happen. But we do see a previous promise in Genesis coming true here, okay, or being applied here. All right. And of course, there's a couple of warnings here, but none specifically from the Lord where he's warning you not to do something. Okay. But we do see, obviously, a warning not to go against the Lord. If you're familiar with Exodus, you know what happens to the Pharaoh and to the Egyptians because they are not blessing the Israelites. But that's something we can get into a little bit later when we start our Exodus Bible study. Okay, so ask the question, are there any promises, commands, or warnings in this passage that you can learn something? Okay, all right, the next question to ask yourself is, are there any examples in this passage I can follow or any examples not to follow in this passage? All right, so like for example, one example that would be really good to follow is of the midwives. Okay, it said in verse 17, but the midwives, however, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had instructed. They let the boys live. So here we see an example of someone who is fearing the Lord more than fearing man. Okay, and not following the commands of man that go against the commands of God. All right, so this is a great example that we could follow or that we could learn from this passage. Okay, and with that comes blessing, that when we do follow what the Lord calls us to do and to worry more about what the Lord thinks of us as opposed to what man thinks of us, the Lord will bless. Okay, so that's one example we can learn. Another example is it's kind of a little nuance, but in verse 14, it tells us that every service that they imposed on the Israelites was harsh. But we see here that the Israelites kept working. So it was ruthless. It was all kinds of work in the fields. It was hard. We learn a little bit later in Exodus that they even piled on more work for them to do, but they did the work. And so they continued to do and to obey what was put in front of them. So kind of goes with, you know, the verse about whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, right? Or do everything unto the Lord. So that's a great example for us to follow, that even when our work is hard and it's bitter and we don't understand why we have to do it, that we continue to do it and we do it as unto the Lord. Okay. Now, is there an example up here we shouldn't follow? Okay, so obviously that's going to be the one in verse 12, but it says, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and flourished. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. So obviously we don't want to oppress anyone, our kids, our husband, right? We don't want to make their life bitter or miserable, we want to bless them instead. All right. So we don't want to hoard over the people that we have authority over, right? So we don't want to follow the example of Pharaoh and even with the whole idea of anti-Semitism, right? So we don't want to follow the Pharaoh with regards to that. Okay. So another thing you can look at when you're trying to figure out what can I learn from this passage is there, what's the main truth in this passage, or what's a main lesson I can learn from this passage? So there's quite a few. So one, it shows us that even when things look so terrible that they must be outside of God's plan, right? I mean, the Israelites, it obviously did not look like this was God's plan for them, that God is still working to provide for his people and to make good on his promises. So he's making good on his promises already about multiplying, right? And blessing them exceedingly in that way. But they're going through some hard stuff. But we know later on that God is working behind the scenes to make good on his promises, okay? We also learn that God can still bless you when everything around us seems totally chaotic, right? So there is blessing in the chaos. We also learn that you will never receive a true reward by following man's agenda over God's agenda, all right? So God always rewards obedience to him. So like we saw the Israelites still working, even though the work was bitter and hard, All right. We can also learn here that as a child of God, you are not where you are by accident, that God has either directed you to where you are. Maybe that's homeschooling, right? Or he has allowed you to be where you are because of maybe some of the choices that you made. Okay. But you are not where you are right now today by accident. So we can learn all of these different lessons or truths from this passage. All right. Another thing you could ask yourself when trying to figure out what can I learn from this passage is, are there any challenges in this passage that you read it and go, ooh, why did God put that in the Bible? Or why did God allow that to happen? Or something that surprises you. I don't know about you, but when I read a passage for the second, third, fourth, sometimes fifth, 20th time, something always jumps out at me and I go, why didn't I see that before? And it's because we're in a different place in our life, a different season in our life. And so was there something when I was reading this passage, maybe you've read Exodus 1 many times and I read it and you went, ooh, I remember that. Or I didn't remember that happening. So to kind of look at Exodus 1 and ask yourself, were there any challenges here? Or anything that surprised you in the passage? So this is very personal for you, but as an example for me, I know verse 8 really surprised me how quickly Joseph was forgotten. I mean, Joseph did so much, not just for the Israelites and the Egyptians, but for the world around them. I mean, people were coming from all over during that famine. And so just the fact that it took maybe a generation, maybe two generations for them to completely forget about Joseph and what he did for them. I mean, that really stood out to me. And I never really caught that before as when they describe the king. Also, verse 9, the reason to fear a group of people. I mean, come on. Do we not see that nowadays in our world today? But they feared the people because they were numerous and that there were a lot of them. And so therefore, that's a reason to hate them and to oppress them. So that really surprised me a little bit. Also in verse 17 for me, that out of all the midwives that were given that hideous command to kill the baby boys just because they were Hebrew, only two, at least the Bible tells us there were only two and they named them by name. So I'm thinking there were only two who actually didn't follow those orders. I mean, wow, that really got to me too. I had never really noticed that before. I knew it was two, but the whole thought that God named them in the Bible to bless them and to give them credit for not doing the hideous command, that there must have really only been two out of all those midwives, okay, who feared God more than man, all right? And then verse 22, it ends with Pharaoh doubling down. And so he's not backing up and saying, okay, maybe I've taken it a bit too far because, you know, the midwives aren't listening and they told the Pharaoh that the Israelite women were stronger and were giving birth before they arrived. He doubled down and said, okay, fine. Then I'll just have everybody in on this, not just the midwives. And I want everybody to help me kill the Hebrew boys. So that really stood out to me too. All right. So that's another thing you could kind of ask yourself as you're trying to figure out, what can I learn from this passage? Another great question to ask yourself is when you're trying to learn something from a passage is, how does this passage point to Jesus? Because the whole Bible is all about Jesus, okay? So how does this passage point to Jesus? So there's not one particular verse or promise or prophecy about Jesus in this passage. However, I do think it points to Jesus in two ways. It shows us that everyone needs a savior and that everyone needs to be delivered from bondage. And we know our bondage may not be slavery, but it's the bondage of sin. So I do feel like this passage does point us to the realization that we need a savior and we need to be saved from our bondage, whatever that is. Okay. And then the last thing is maybe take a look at the passage and kind of think, is there a verse that really stands out to me that I can learn from that maybe I could pray or that I could memorize? And for me, remember, this is personal, but for me, verse 12 really stood out to me. It says, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and flourished. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that and be reminded of that particular passage today, that no matter how much I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm not really oppressed in my life right now, but there are some things that are heavy on my shoulder that are, I feel a certain oppression of right now, or depression. But the more that the world pushes against us, or pushes against your decision to homeschool, or pushes against your decision to follow Christ and to do it very loudly in today's world, the more the Lord will multiply and flourish. And so for me, it was verse 12. All right. So when you're trying to figure out what you can learn from a passage, you can kind of ask yourself all of these questions. Is there a promise, a command, or a warning? Is there an example to follow or an example not to follow? What's the main truth or lesson in this passage? Are there any challenges or surprises that came up in this passage? How does it point to Jesus? Is there a particular verse that really stands out? And then the last one is to look for the attributes of God. Do we see any attributes of God in this particular passage, or do we see God's character? And I really feel like we see the attribute of faithfulness in this passage, because like I mentioned earlier, Genesis 22, 17, the Lord promised Abraham that he would multiply his descendants so much that they would be more numerous than the stars and the sand. And we see this happening here in Exodus 1. And also another attribute that isn't like specifically said, but it's implied throughout the passage is the attribute of God being our protector. Okay, because in Psalm 46, it's all about how when we are oppressed, or we're being we're not safe, that the Lord is our safety, that he puts us underneath his wings, that we can find refuge in him and in his cleft. And so I do feel like his attribute of protector is also showing up in this passage. All right. So then the last question that you can ask yourself in the three question method, remember, you start off with, what is this passage about? Then what can I learn from this passage? And then I feel like the most important question to ask is, how can I apply this passage today? Not this week, not this year, but today. All right. So you definitely want to ask questions that are not yes or no. You want to ask yourself questions that are more open-ended. All right. So like, for instance, is there an area that he's calling you to be obedient in, and it's really hard, but it's an area you need to keep doing, right? Or maybe it's an area you gave up on, but you know the Lord's calling you to do it. You know, just like the Israelites, it was really hard for them to obey and to do that hard work, but they did it. Okay. So maybe it's an area of obedience. And if that's the case, have a come to Jesus moment with God today, and be like, Lord, I really need your help to be more obedient in this area that you've called me to do, and name that, and ask the Lord to help you with it. Okay. Maybe it's an area of oppression. Maybe there's an area right now that you are just feeling beat up over. It's a continual boulder on your shoulder that's weighing you down. And maybe you just need strength to endure, right? And so ask the Lord to help you today to endure it, or to seek God. Maybe you're trying to do it in your own strength and not in the Lord's strength. Or maybe you haven't even called out to the Lord. You just need to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this. I am feeling oppressed, and I know in you there is no oppression. So free me from this. Maybe it's an area of fruitfulness, right? And so maybe there is an area, just like the Israelites, that the Lord was multiplying them. So is there an area that the Lord is multiplying? And if that's the case, have you thanked him for that? All right. So use today to thank him for that, or to really look at why it's being so fruitful, and to ask the Lord to help you to continue to do that. Or maybe there's an area that is not being very fruitful, and you need it to be. And maybe it's because of choices you're making, or things that you're not doing that you know the Lord's calling you to do. All right. Or maybe there's an area that you need to obey God and not man, or an area where you need to focus more on God's opinion of you and not man's opinion of you. And what is that particular area? Name it and pray over it and ask the Lord to help you with that. Okay. All right. So really, That's all you need to do is read any passage you want. This particular passage was 22 verses. You can pick a passage that's shorter than that. You could read a whole chapter that might be much longer than that. You could read a psalm. You could read a proverb, whatever you want. I like to study God's word book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So I tend to do an entire book like this until I finish it. But it's up to you how you want to do it. But just your Bible, any translation will do, your journal or notebook, and ask those three questions. What is this passage about? What can I learn from this passage? And how can I apply it today? And I hope you can join us when we do start our Bible study in the coffee house on the book of Exodus.
If you are not a member of the Coffee House, but you would like to study the book of Exodus on your own or with a group of friends, check out my website, coffeewithcarrie.org. I have a new resource available there called Walk by Faith, the Book of Exodus Bible Study for Homeschooling Moms. If you're a homeschooling mom, you know that God has given you the monumental task to educate your child at home. You know you're standing on holy ground. The Lord has called you to exit the traditional school system and to teach your own at home. You also know that the journey before you may be long and full of trials and some unexpected side trips. This 22-week Bible study helps you dig deep into the life of Moses and witness God's faithfulness and awesome power as you learn how to walk in faith and not in fear. It helps you learn principles and to discover biblical truths that you will be able to apply to your life, your parenting, and to your homeschooling. So, if you're interested in studying the book of Exodus this year, either on your own or with a group of homeschooling moms, check out this new Bible study resource at coffeewithcarrie.org. Or go ahead and join the coffee house when we begin this Bible study there. Remember, as mothers and home educators, you are standing on holy ground. Let's walk in faith, not fear. Thank you for hanging out with me and for joining me for this little coffee break. It's our prayer that our website, homeschooling consulting services, podcasts, and books will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. We're praying for you. Stay healthy. God bless. And see you next time.